Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
All of you out there with prayers and support. Thank you all. So now, as we look at tonight's topic, we want to break some of this stuff down. You know, sometimes in order to go forward on this policy, rules, regulations, you have to really break this stuff down to a point that the average person can understand. And they say that, remember, they say that the music that needs to be written on is fifth grade level. But not everybody can interpret the newspaper on that level. It seems much more higher unless you're talking about the coach of fifth grade. Those are fifth grade who are smarter than the average adult. We want to break this ability and respect the person's opinion as an interpret or attempt to define some of the wording. Let's begin with the word sin. Sin. Now, I know we've heard that contrary to God's law. So we have another definition of sin. Sin. Anyway. It's obedient to what? So if you're a child, you have a child flaw. Okay,
God's word.
God's word.
Can't
Okay, so you get a sin. So when you got sin and you get sin, I told you to wash these dishes for 15 times already. And you wash and you went to bed and you went to sleep. But I washed those dishes. Is the boy sin because you don't wash? Would you say that the boy sinned against the parents so he didn't wash the dishes? Divine law. Okay, so and what is against God's law? So the parent is not God. So did the boy sin?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So he didn't. Okay. So he didn't come. Okay. So we're exclusively or explicitly saying that sin has to be against God's law. Is that right? So let me ask this, and I want to say this conversation for a moment. Does God's law say that to honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long, the heavenly earth, blah, 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 right? So now, is it that the boy did not wash their dishes after the parents of Jonah 16 times? Is it to honor this man that he told them? So did he violate God's law? Here we go. This is deep. Certain cultures of men, they have several You know, the teens have several wives. Even the Mormons over here, some teens have to have multiple wives. But it makes a difference. They never have a man's law. So, what is, do we really know what? Several wives. You think about several wives. Are you in compliance with the law of the Lord? Let's go ahead and try that one. Okay, so if you commit adultery, if you have all of your wives, I'm asking a question. Because the reason I'm asking is because some of the, I believe in first, you didn't say this kind of thing, that it's sin when you know that it's sin, and he does not, he wants to gain the sister in vain. And to he does not, then it's sin, but he knows that sin. So, but it's the custom, it's the custom to have several wives. How can that be, that's my question. So how can I be guilty of something that I violate God's law when this is the custom of man? Help me with that one. I mean, can I not what? But you know what's going on? Everybody's going to get the knowledge before they die.
Thank you.
in and just a moment. Then if God knew something, God would take it back. You would sit there and support that. But God would take it from that. Okay. I will come back to you and just okay. We'll come back to you. So let's go ahead and bring in our session meeting. And you have a couple of questions on your interpretation, your question. Come to our chat later. Anything I want to do, Father. Do you know, Father? Yeah, I would think. Okay, so let's go with
I want to say,
a conclusion, right?
Welcome to Huddle. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You will be connected now. There are 7 participants in the conference. The recording started. This session is no longer being recorded. The recording started. You are still there. You are always still the one to play.
What does that mean? You see, what does it mean? Talk to somebody. What does that mean? We do. You got no more sisters. Okay. Again, the two of
My grace is sufficient. Sufficient means enough.
So there's a reason why Paul remained with that thorn in his side. Maybe it's because of what he did to the persecuting the Christians. Who knows? Tennessee, I want to bring you in here. Wow, that is so, let me tell you, in itself is so deep that it's almost incomprehensible. His grace is sufficient because he shines the rain on the just and the unjust. He shines the sun, rather, I'm sorry, on the just and the unjust. Now, what does that mean? Even if you don't believe in him, you still get the sunlight, the beauty of the day, I always call it. You know, the rain. When people complain about God's rain, should we be doing that? Should we be doing that? Are we dishonoring God when we're saying, oh, it's a horrible day outside? But can you imagine? I've been in states where if you wash your car, if you water your grass because there was no rain, you could be fined or imprisoned. Come on now. But yet we have the audacity to complain cold when God cleansed the earth with the coldness of the weather conditions. Come on, Paul. Somebody talk to me about the God we serve.
Yes, I want to that when God is gracious, right?
Yes.
But how do I take for granted like that? Because if I'm going to continue in my sin and God's sufficient, that means that I really don't care about him.
Yeah.
I'm taking advantage of
you
his
certainly
grace.
Are.
I'm taking advantage of his love.
Yep.
Because I'm saying to myself, no matter what I do, God's going to be
taking
care of it, and that's presumption.
That sure is.
That is so far in effect.
Okay.
And also, you mentioned something I wanted to bring in. I was looking to the scripture, and I'm sure you know it, Dr. Walker. But when he was saying about a tradition, right?
Uh-huh.
That, or not a tradition, but I guess in your certain area, you have so many wives and whatnot.
Under culture.
Traditions of man and the word of God, you know, and then back to the scripture I said where you know, for him to know to do right and do not as a sin, that's why we cannot judge people because they may be going by that tradition.
Right.
God revealed it to them.
Right.
We cannot judge them because they've been in that tradition or they live that way all their lives.
Right.
So we can't say that wrong. So we can say, Lord, you know, let's just study this word or whatever, because people are not in the same state of their Christian
right.
So who are we to tell someone that they're wrong? But we can show each other in scripture and pray for the Holy Spirit to do something with that seed that has been planted.
That is beautifully stated. Beautifully stated. And I mean, it's like, this is just my opinion, what I'm saying now as well. The best thing that we can, and I know that it really helps me, is to have daily relationship with God, to be spiritually fed with spiritual food. Now, what do I mean by that? Spiritual food. When Christ said that man shall not live by bread alone, talking of the physical food sustains the body, but we spiritually need something. I started, you know, instead of just going to church once a week and hardly ever going on midweek services, let me tell you something. It was like, oh, it was okay. But when I started getting into the word every for the spiritual food, and I'm not influencing anybody or anything, I'm just telling you what, something came over me that was greater than anything, peace, a love, a happiness, a fulfillment, that spiritual food. I get up in the morning. I play a nice spiritual song, sometimes the same song, because I love it. It takes to feed that spirit. And then I go to the Word of God, and my Bible is reading to me. And I do basically two scriptures a day. And I've gone through about already once. Now I'm on my, well, probably twice already. Now I'm on my third time, but you never get enough because you're constantly learning. So if you all are not being spiritually fed, you're missing out on that. But you say, well, what do I mean by that? When you're not feeding that spirit,
God will come in and direct you in spirit and in truth. So you might look at a person like, I don't wear my title of ministry or anything like that because I don't want the accolades, the highlights, the be placed on a pedestal because I'm still here, subject to I err all the time. I'm not perfect. I'm not probably not even close to the least among you all. He's still working with me. I'm a work in process, you know, and I want to think I'm a work in progress. And somehow or another, the word closer and closer, and things begin to be revealed to me, actually revealed to me. And it's like, whoa, this is amazing. But anyway, as we're talking, can sin be easily overcome without God or even with God? Somebody speak to me on that, please.
Can I share a verse of that?
Yes.
In the New Living Translation, it says, "Sin is no longer your master, for you are no longer free to live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the spirit of God's grace. Well, then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sin? Of course not. You become a slave to whatever you choose to obey. You can be a slave to sleep to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living."
Okay.
Now,
go ahead.
Now, see, that's clear. Because what you just said, can we go on sinning and calling? God forbid. No. Even though we're afraid, no, you cannot continue sinning. Correct. Thank you, Lord, for our clarity to what we were just previously talking about.
I ask you all a question, and I'd just like to ask you, without giving an explanation, I just want to ask a question. And just, if you don't mind, and we'll get into it. This stuff is really deep tonight, you all. I encourage everybody to go read for yourself and read, look at Bible commentaries. Like one of the books gives you like four different commentaries on the as they interpret scripture. That's what you want to look into and ask the Spirit to lead you in the Spirit and truth. So let me ask this question. I think it's probably over maybe 12 years ago. And I want to begin by asking you, would you intentionally do like the soldiers did? Right. Would you do that to Christ? That's a yes or no answer. Okay. Sparkles, I want to come to you and ask the same question. It's just a yes or no. Would you intentionally, and even I want to put the word knowingly, do what the soldiers did back there when they crucified Christ? Would you do that to Christ?
No.
Okay. I'll ask you the same question. Would you intentionally and back in that day, and crucified, knowing who he was, the Son of God? Okay, now watch this. Watch this. And I preached this sermon years ago. I think it was in Tone, Florida. Do you know that because, and asking me that question as well, not knowingly, not intentionally, and not purposely, I would say no as well. But guess what? Is it possible that we crucify Christ every single day? We're doing what those soldiers did, and even when they pierced him in his side, when we go ahead and go contrary to the Lord, knowing perfectly and intentionally, come on, somebody. Now you see how crucifying him all over again. I mean, is that right? When we talk about sin, we're crucified. Why crucify me? He's saying to the Christians now, why are you all crucifying me? You're doing the same thing that these soldiers did. You're crucifying the innocent lamb who came to redeem us. Come on, somebody, talk to me.
Yes.
So you didn't, we didn't think that we would be crucifying him, did we? We didn't think so, did we? When that sermon was done, the entire church just came down for, like, the appeal. And, you know, it's like, and I wasn't just speaking to them. I always carried a mirror, a compact mirror that, you know, the ladies carry. I have it in my coat pocket. Whenever I'm preaching, I say, this message is not for you all. God gave it to me. And I'm when I look in this mirror, that's a reflection to come back to me that this message is for me. So if some of you all, you know, find that there's grace in the message or there's a message for you, then so be it. But this message today is for me because God gave it to me to be delivered. And so that's what I would say to them. And let me tell you something. That message had me crying on the pulpit to the stop because it allowed me through that mirror, which I put back in my pocket, but now there's a bigger mirror, a whole body mirror that I was reflecting upon that let me know, like when Jesus wrote in the sand with those people that I was accusing the woman. Can anybody understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Why? Because the message came back to me, and it was like I couldn't stop crying on the pulpit. And many of the church members were crying, too, because you begin to see your own faults. Go ahead. Talk to me.
You know, and Dr. Walker, we have to make hard choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean hard choices, even though we feel comfortable and think that God wants to always be so comfortable for us, it's not meant to be. We have to sacrifice, and even when we sacrifice those traditions or whatever it is, don't we know that God's going to replace that with something better?
I think that when we
do with these things about what we need to do, but when God's word says we are wrestling with our flesh,
yeah.
We are wrestling with
yeah.
selfishness,
yeah.
We are with the love of wanting to do our own thing. Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Lord, that's me.
Yeah.
But if it's you,
yeah. Nevertheless, right.
Then I will do that. And that's how I have to do with my own life. And no, it's not easy. But if I want to see Jesus, I'm going to have to ask him to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And by asking him to help me, he sure will. And he will wipe those tears from my eyes, go to my selfishness, and do my own thing. And he will that joy. That surpasses all understanding that no one who has not been there now, but those who have been there.
Wow, that is very well stated. You know, the story is told, and this story, honest God, you all that I read here are true. And it just so happened that the Holy Spirit brings a lot of to me. The story is about a woman, and I'm not judging her. Or any of that stuff, you all. We only, you know, we're talking about men and women, so that's all we got. We're not talking about animals and stuff, right? So there is told about a woman who had been married 4 times. She's a friend of mine. I've been married 4 times, and I don't judge her for that. She's still a friend of mine. However, upon meeting her for two weeks only, listen, about a week, we established a good friendship when I met her several years ago. This was several years ago. And let me tell you something. That woman fell, according to her, she fell madly in love with me. Now, she was not married, but appreciated her friendship. I just appreciated her friendship. And that woman, she says, just tell you all, and this is not for boasting or anything. I don't know. You know, I'm just telling you all this story. That woman said, because I control myself around you in any form or fashion, I disconnect from you. I say, even just a friendship, we never hands, never touch, never kiss, nothing. She says, yes. She says, you caused me to sin. Well, how am I causing you to sin? because I think deeper. I look at that. And I'm like, oh, excuse me. I'm like, what am I doing? She said, I'm sorry, y'all. She says, not you. She says, it's not you. She says, it's me. She says, I hear your voice. And she says, I've always thought, and do you know, I told her that, you know what, pray about it, and I'll try to talk to him, to whatever is into this situation. I didn't know. But that lady told me, she says, I got to disconnect. I got to go in fasting and prayer. And she did. And I made certain that I didn't call her because I didn't mislead her or lead her on, knowing that this woman couldn't handle it. I haven't heard from her now in years, and I praise God. But sometimes it's just like some of the ministers, when they're up there and people, and it's even in therapy. I have the same thing as a therapist. You know, people are like, they fall in love, but we're trying to, you know, as ministers, we're trying to present God's message, but then we're human. We get a little sidetracked, and it's like, God, help me, somebody. And I've had, listen, I'm not saying this here to make it about me. I'm making a point here. If you find something that's going to cause you to, what does the Bible say about your limb? Come on. What does it say? Cut it off. Fuck it off. Put it out. I've had one lady who used to sing for me. Married lady. Two of them. And the lady used to sing. And I joined that church. I changed membership. And she said, it was a church that my sister was attending, my biological sister. And the lady said, your brother's coming here. She said, I've loved your brother since I've known him for years. And she says, your brother's coming to this church. I got to transfer churches. And she did. And the lady used to sing for me on occasion. She transferred churches because she says, to look at him when he speaks, it would be a sin against my own husband because I've loved your husband before I was even married. And I'm saying to myself, can that, if it's a problem, you got to cut it off. So I admire those ladies. I've even had to, no, I can't say that I've had to transfer things because I, y'all don't know the struggle I have. It's hard out here. Help me, Holy Ghost. And I'm not saying that to make it about me. It's not easy. It's not easy. And so it's like, God, I mean, you all have the encounter to stay in my house sometimes without going outside. I'm not saying that I'm all that or any of that. That's not the message I'm presenting. I'm saying that when you get into the Word of God, He will protect you. He will protect you. Even when you don't, when you're not even aware that things are coming at you. Somebody talk to me about that.
You know, I've been in situations, maybe not as intense as yours, but I do know what it means to have to really flee the situation. When you outright know that there is temptation your way, and you know that if you allow yourself to go there, you know what the consequence is going to be. I've had to go in different directions as well, and I've had to really loud in order to hear it and know that feeling. And when you want to be saved and want to do right, you will do that. I mean, it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but that is, as I said, the struggle is real out here.
It is.
And you have to safeguard yourself. You have to. But Joseph doing with Potiphar's wife.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
That joker had to run.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Help the folks. It's not easy. So the question becomes in tonight's topic: is sin easy to overcome? Is it? How can it be? If you don't know we're sinning.
It's not easy. There are little things that don't have a hold on you that can be, but those things that really grab your soul, that you know that you are finding true pleasure from, and it's wrong, oh, no, it's not easy to let go at all.
It's not easy. And you know what? The thing about it is it feels good, and I'm not encouraging it, you all, but if anybody else is, you know, I might be the only sinner, but it feels good.
It feels real good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I'm not the only sinner, you all, because it's like, it feels good, but there's the Bible talks about the way of a man may seem right, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the end thereof, come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. You know, God, let me see how good he is. And I don't have your own personal relationship, but I'm just speaking for me. And I want you all. You all want to go another 15 minutes or 30 minutes? It's up to you all.
I do.
Conversation is very fruitful. Okay, so what, 15 or 30?
15.
Okay, 15. We'll go to 8:15. Okay, great, great. Okay, so help me, Holy Spirit, where I was going with this. So now, when we look at the sinful part, you know, it's almost like it's so, this is really, really good. But how good God is, thank you, Holy Spirit, because watch this. He had to cut the time short. Remember people used to live 800, 900 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
They used to live all of those years, and sure, we would want to live. But he cut it short, 3 score and 10 in some cases, right? You get bonuses going past that. But he caught it short. He cut it short to save us. Do you all understand that? Now, watch this here.
Yeah.
In that time span, a third of our lives are supposed to be spent sleeping to keep us out of trouble. Okay, stay with me, you all. These human beings, it repented me to my heart that I'm them. So they got to sleep. Y'all need to sleep for 7 or 8 hours. It's only 24 hours. Sleep 8 hours. Get y'all to bed. Doggone it. Yeah. I'm telling you, the evils there are. It's hard out here. So in his love, he sends us to sleep, right? And then, watch this now, that's at least 6 to 8 hours, right? So now, and then we go to work. He wants us to occupy, right? Go to work. He said it repented him to his heart. That's what he wants. So now, he sends us to work. It's got to take us at least, if you're like me, it takes me about almost an hour to get dressed. I don't know what's wrong. That's long. So I'm getting dressed. Now I got to commute to work. So I used to get up like 5:30, 5:45 to be to work at 7:30. And it's like, why am I getting up this early? You know, going to bed at, what, 9 or 10 o'clock. Stand up. Go to work for all of these hours. Now you got to commute home in traffic. That's like 10 hours. And then by the time you get home, something to eat. You're so tired, you feel like getting in no kind of trouble, right? You know, people might put them off. Maybe I ain't going to. I'm tired. Okay?
Thank you.
Yes. But you see how good God is? And it keeps so because it keeps us occupied. And then I used to on my 4 children. I sent them jokers to bed early. Even when they were in high school, they were going to bed at 10 o'clock. So they got used to that, right? Now they're getting up at 6 hours. I tried to get them a full 8 hours. They out of trouble, okay? And then now they got to go to school. And I put chores on them. I was a single parent. I put chores on them. Couldn't even finish. And then I told them, I say, if you can go outside and play, and then they had to do their homework. The hardest class. I put them in all honors classes, right? So I told them, if you all, and I got them tutors. And I said, they said, Dad, when are we going to go out and play? Only go out and play if the sun is up, that you can see the sun. Before the sun sets, you got to be in this house. Come on now. Anybody going to report me to Children and Family Services? Because I confess right now, studying. And it was again the next day. Go to bed. And guess what? See, all of them are. They're doing their kids. Come on, somebody. Come on. You got to see. If we had programs here in various communities where they're getting into all these idle time, come on, somebody. Come on. Come on.
Absolutely.
Come on. Speak to that. Speak to that for me, Candlestick. Idle time. What?
Workshop. Absolutely. Wait a minute. That's why I had to find me some volunteer work to do. Because I'm a stay-at-home wife, and I'm like, okay, well, I got to put my hands. I got to do something. So I'm doing volunteer to keep myself occupied and not busy and, you know, and do whatever. So, yeah. You got to do something.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kenny said you asked about me how I was doing since the test. I am like a lion in a cage filled with boredom, like boredom.
So now
I don't have to study. So I'm still in the D.C. area. I'm in Maryland now. But it's like I'm just walking, like, pacing for hours. And it's like, so I know.
You better read that word.
I know, right? because it's like I don't have to study for 10 and 12 hours, and I'm literally pacing, huh? Yeah, I don't have to study for 10 and 12 hours in this idle time now. I'm like, bad day. And I'm not even interested in watching TV because I don't watch every episode of Father Knows Best and Dick Van Dyke. So it's like I'm out of them now. And just so the point I want to make you all, we have got to stay busy in this world, reading our, you know, doing what we do. Okay, Mimi, let me bring you in here, Mimi. Mimi, I haven't heard you. Mimi, do you think that God's love for us is here for 8 hours to work for another 8 to 10 and then try to go home and get some rest? I said, do you think God's love for us sends us for 8 to 10 hours to work for 8 to 10 hours, and then the remainder of the time, we're so tired now, we got to get ready for the next day?
He gave us all 24 hours in the day, so I guess however per 4 hours we do things,
the
less trouble we'll get into.
That's it. Yeah. And we want to really help the community problem put make those kids. Children or grandchildren back there. I would even, y'all gonna call Children and Family Service on me. I already know. They'll probably come knocking. But listen, when their mother was out working, you know, because I would get on before her, I took them jokers out there in the sun at the park. And that sun hit you. Boy, look at here. They were asleep. That sun alone. And them kids went, I'm telling you, they were in bed in high school. Come on, somebody.
You were not.
I'm telling you, yes. So now we look at.
Because you're giving some good advice tonight.
Well, I appreciate that. Wow, I appreciate that. So as we look at this here, you all, we want to bring this home now. And the question we beg of, is sinning easy to overcome with or without God or are ungrateful? Listen, if you think sin is easy to overcome without God, you done lost part of your intelligence, right? I'm just putting it mildly. If you think it's easy, and you can just go based on a word, sin can be almost addictive. But what we have to do is the only strength and redemption having your personal relationship. God, listen. I mean, who was it? Look at Solomon. Look at David, his father. And then his father was Jesse. you know, not, but see where how he's going? I mean, come on, somebody. Come on. These guys. And God said he would not even make a man that wise anymore, like Solomon was. You know? So if we think sin is easy to overcome, but you know what? The Bible tells us that all things are possible with Christ. So he overcame the world. So that's our model. I'm not his model. Christ is our model. Mimi, you got any more scriptures for us?
James 3:17 and the King James. I had it in the wrong person.
You have it?
Yeah, I have it.
All
right. It says, but the wisdom that comes from above is pure, peaceful, gentle, and easy, the of mercy and good fruit without partiality and without hypocrisy. So, and what it's saying that whatever we need, the peace, the wisdom.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. So if we want to overcome the sin, we can ask God for it. Is that right, you all? Okay, we can ask him for it. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we can ask him for it. Okay, so the grace part, the grace. Did we clear things up with the grace, that my grace is sufficient? Did we clear that up?
I think so.
Okay, so if you feel that we haven't, grace is like, don't go and keep doing it. Don't go and keep doing it. Don't go and keep doing it. That's the grace, because you don't want to be trying God. You don't want to be persecuting Christ. You know, so our prayer should be, and this is just my suggestion, on a daily basis, God, give me the strength to make it. But remember that the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Remember that? Give us this day. Give us this day. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day are the what? Evils thereof. That's what the scripture tells us. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's got its own problem. You better be worrying about today, okay? Lord, go ahead. There it is. There you go. There you go. There you go.
But it's out there, and it can knock at anybody's door, but we trust God, knowing that angels have gone to protect us and to teach us. It's okay, but God is telling us to go right. We have to tune the spirit and obey his voice. We stop him to go the way that God wants us to go.
We've got the ladies, you all are here chiming in. Let me tell you, let me just remind you all, because you already know how powerful you are. You know how powerful you are. So associated with a lot of you. I've just always been, because you all get things done. And when you have sons, you can guard your son. And I'm not saying this to discredit women, because I would never do that. But you know how women can be when it comes to men. He can write sometimes as a man. Help us, Holy Ghost. And you all know that. I know. You're right, right? I know. You're right. We don't be thinking like we need to be thinking all the time. And having a mother that has sons, and you all testified you would. Your mothers, because my mother did it. She said, boy, stay away from that girl, okay? Stay away from that girl, because it's like, and I'm not saying women are bad, but it's just when it comes to a woman, help us, help us, Holy Ghost. You all don't understand it, and I know you say thank God. Women are so powerful. I mean, there was a little one of my nephews, he was only like four. His sister, which was my niece, she was probably six. She was walking around emulating her mother on the cell phone. So the mother's walking around with her cell phone, and her little brother, who's about four, picked up a shoe, following after her. Come on, somebody. He followed his little sister everywhere she went. She got a cell phone, but it's a and he picked up a shoe because he didn't have a cell phone, so he picked up a shoe, marching by. Come on, somebody. So mothers can somebody testify tonight that have you ever told your son, that's not the woman for you? There's a reason. Anybody want to testify to that?
I have.
Okay, you want to tell us anything about it?
Yeah, I'm glad he listens because he just pick up a person, spirit. It's like, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't, the lady in my house, I wasn't comfortable with her, because her conversation was not respectful to a mom.
Right.
He just can't let you her mouth. I don't think that, okay, who is this?
Right. And that's the thing. That's the mothers that have gone ahead. They know a woman, unlike a man does. Just like with me. I protected my daughters. No, that's not the guy for you. He can't even step foot on my grass. Okay? He can't step foot on my grass. Dad, you know that is good enough. That is true. Right? Okay? Okay. Listen, we are out of time now. I want to thank you all. I thought the show was pretty good tonight. And then we certainly do appreciate you all. And anybody want to close us out with a brief closeout? Anyone? Volunteer. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just say that, we have to trust with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. As individuals, to keep our eyes on him and not to, like I said, judge other people, because we don't know where they are in their walk.
Right.
We don't know their whole life history. We don't know anything about them, but that they are striving to be the child of God that God wants them to be. So I just pray that is for each of you on the line that continues to lead and guide and bless all of you. Amen. And peace one day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Listen, we'll be back to bring your show from Georgia, I guess, next week. So tune in. There's no show tomorrow morning, but we'll be back here next Thursday and Friday and then next Saturday morning. So sometime next week, I want to say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Have a good evening, everyone.